right, if you have your Bibles quickly, let's begin our studies today. Again, we'll read from the book of Isaiah chapter 55. Has become like a text for this series of teachings that we're having on what we called the sayings of God. You know, I like the way, in fact, let's start today from Isaiah and Proverbs chapter 4. That would be a good one. We'll still come to this Isaiah chapter 55, but let's just start from Proverbs chapter 4. He said, "My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings." That's from verse 20. 21 says, "Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. The reason is because they are life to those who find them," verse 22, "and health to all their whole body." He now said, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." My son, he says, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. And we have been looking at what we call the sayings of God. Now go back to that Isaiah chapter 55, which has been like the text for these our teachings. And then what we establish from that is simple, that wickedness or righteousness is determined by thoughts. That a wicked man is wicked because of the way he thinks. He said in verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." He said, "And let him return to the Lord. How will he return? By changing his ways and by changing his thoughts." That is, how does he think? How does he see the things of life? He said, verse 8 now, he said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." He said, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be," all right, "which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." What have we seen from this portion of the scriptures? That is, a wicked man or an unrighteous man is known by his thoughts. And returning to the Lord is in changing the way you think. Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your viewpoint. How do you interpret the issues of life? How do you see things? That's what decides, that's what differentiates between the successful man and the failure. That's what distinguishes between the man who is a righteous man and the one who is unrighteous. Are you getting my point? And I said that our duties, all right, as Christians, is to learn to think the way God thinks. And when we're talking about the sayings of God, let me just quickly say it. In Hebrew, or the word logos in Greek, refers to both the word and the thoughts of God. I said to you before that when the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, you know that, that what happens was that God was thinking. Are you getting my point? He was conceiving. And the eruption from his heart when it was full of the picture of what he wanted to do was what came out, all right? And it was written in Hebrew by Moses as, "Let there be light." Are you getting my point? So the sayings of God and the thoughts of God, they are the same thing. The way by which God transmits his thinking pattern and his thoughts, all right, to you is through his words. That's why you have come here. That's why you left everything you are doing today to be here at this particular point in time. In fact, I heard earlier, I know, because I was somewhere, and they told me that I think two European teams are playing again about this time. And I thought to myself, any man who doesn't come for Bible study today, because two groups of overpaid entertainers are entertaining a crowd, has a mental and spiritual problem. Yes, and I mean that that's not supposed to be a joke. If you ever left this teaching of the word of God to go and get entertained by footballers, you need deliverance. You know, there's a special kind of deliverance that you need. Are you getting my point? Yeah, but because you see your life, he said, "They are life unto those who find them, and health to their whole body." He said, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flows forth the issues of life." No matter how much football you watch, it will never affect your destiny. The only way it can affect it is negatively. It can never improve your life. Are you getting my point? It can never heal your diseases. It can never give you hope in the time of failure. It can never give you happiness when life's challenges will come upon you. That's the matter of fact. When the life is not built on the word of God, it's built on other things. It's said to be on shaky ground. It's built on sand. The reason why you take time out to hear God is because you have to dig. And he dug deep and put his foundation upon bedrock. And when the trials of life came, he was not moved. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? So why you are here is that you are hearing the word of God, and that's changing the way you think. That's changing the way you see yourself. It's changing the way you see things in life. And what we were saying last time, what we began to do is that last week was to see how God sees us. You know, there are different things that God sees. Or like I said, let me try not to teach in details, but just to talk. Last time I began to show us how God sees us. Because when the way you see yourself may be different from the way God sees you. And that's why he talks about you. My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Quickly, let's read this. It would be interesting just to highlight it again. There are two scriptures we know very well. Jeremiah chapter 1, that's the one we began last time. That's seeing, how does God see me? I said that people have been told since they were young certain things. A lot of parents have corrupted the mindsets of their children by speaking negative words to them all the time. And they don't realize this is affecting the way the child behaves. Now, last week, one of my sons, I was asking some questions. And I didn't like the way he was answering me. And even though he knew the answers, he was responding with so much hesitancy. We had to go through some rounds of confession of the scriptures. You know, I asked him a question. He said something like, lunch, you know. Like, why are you asking? Why are you looking at me for confirmation? You know it. Say it boldly. So I said, what's your name? He said, Benga. I said, don't answer me like that. What is your name? He said, Olubenga. I said, very fine. You are a child of God. You are bold. Are you getting my point? You are not afraid. You are intelligent. Don't let life intimidate you. We were there for a long time. I was saying things. He was repeating them. When he finished, I said, kneel down here now. Let me pray for you. And I put my hands upon him. And look, listen, I do that in my house all the time. Are you getting my point? In fact, I said, look, I told my wife, I have to investigate who is his class teacher. How does the class teacher handle him in class? I told him, if you don't know, you say, I don't know. Be bold in saying, I don't know. And I will correct you. Don't look at me. I mean, I tell you, for example, I said 2 times 2. He said, 4. I said, what nonsense is that? 2 times 2 is 4. You are either aware of it or you are not aware of it. And when you are aware of it, you tell me boldly. Are you getting my point? Yes, you must see yourself with confidence. That's a matter of fact. And that's why I'm going to go on talking about that today, because we can't say that thing enough. All right? I mean, what the devil does is to eat away people's confidence. I told you before that the devil doesn't have the kind of power people claim he has. If he did, he wouldn't do much talking. Are you getting my point? Yes, if he did, he wouldn't do much persuading. If he had power to make people fall, just come and say, Eve, come, eat that fruit. And that's it. It will even go. Say, why? I was under a spell. Are you getting my point? The devil didn't have that power. So he came and said, good afternoon, ma. Are you busy? And she said, no. Can I talk to you for a few moments? And she said, no problem. Are you confused about something? He said, yes. Has God really said that you should not eat? He said, don't go near there. And they were talking and talking. And she said, no, let me give you new information you did not know before. And that's the fact that if you eat it, you will not surely die. Are you getting my point? Was changing her mindset, her thought pattern that made her able to eat that fruit. Do you get my point? And that's what Satan is still doing till today. All the experiences of your life, what he's trying to use them to do is to prove to you that something is wrong with you. Are you getting my point? I mean, he said, last time you failed. Second time you failed. What does that tell you? You're a failure. He said, I lie. A righteous man must fail 7 times. And the Lord will still raise him up. I remember when I was in secondary school those days, we operated a different system from where they operate now. There was five classes we had in secondary school. From 1, from 2, and from 3 is when you had to study everything in details. Then once that, you did like 13 subjects. But when you got to from 4, what's an equivalent of SS1 now, you dropped many subjects, and then you focused on whether you wanted to do science, pure sciences, pure arts, or social sciences, you know, stuff like that. Then I was always a good student. But the first term of Form 4, I failed physics. Second term, my school introduced ADMAT, additional mathematics. I failed physics again and additional mathematics. And a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, he walked up to me and said, well, we're just starting. Since Physics, I didn't pass. Additional mathematics, I did not pass. I have decided that this thing is not for me. So he told me that he was dropping physics and additional mathematics. And he was picking up economics and geography and all of that. And I was discouraged for a moment. And I went and spoke to one of my another of our friends. You know, good enough for me, I couldn't even try that. I had to go home to get permission to drop anything. You get what I'm saying? And we're boarding house. So I went to talk to one of my friends. He's an engineer today. And I told him, I said, look at what this guy said. He said, don't mind him. Have you noticed that our physics teacher does not have two heads? Ah! It was revelation. He said, wow, that's true. He does not have two heads. So I went and told the guy, that man doesn't have two heads. I can do it. And listen to me. Third term, we passed. Next term, we passed. Second term of 5th year, we passed. Third term of 5th year, we passed. It was meanwhile, we had A's in it. It was not an issue. It passed maths, passed physics, passed chemistry, passed all of them, lumped all the passes together. Yes. Are you getting my point? That's what life does. Life, then you fail this one, you fail this one, it means you can't do it. And when you accept it, you start seeing yourself differently from how God sees you. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? I mean, quickly, let's read that Jeremiah chapter 1. No, before, okay, open Jeremiah chapter 1. Before we read it, just keep something there, all right? And quickly go back to Numbers chapter 24, just to emphasize this thing again. Numbers chapter 13, all right? Sorry. You know the story at Kadesh Barnea? The people went to go and spy the land, and they saw giants. And all right, giants had an opinion of them, and they learned from their own experiences, having been in Egypt for a long time, what their life is supposed to be like. We are small people. They did not attend to the word of God. So what happened? The Bible says that verse 32, because of time, let me just quickly read that from verse 32. So, from verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him, that is with Caleb and Joshua, all right, said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. Now, listen to this. Quickly go down to verse 33. He said, there also we saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim, that is the giants. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. See, it was what they were in their own sight that mattered. Are you getting my point? So they were seeing themselves in a fashion that God did not see them. But if you see, Caleb and Joshua saw differently. What did they say? Like we studied then, they followed the Lord fully. Can you remember that? They followed the Lord how? Fully. They followed the Lord how? Fully. What did he say? He said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it. That was the way they saw themselves. They saw themselves that God is on our side. That's what Joshua and Caleb explained to them. They didn't see themselves alone. They saw themselves with the power of God working with them. When the people came, when the king of Syria sent to go and arrest Elisha, his servant saw only the army and saw against the army just him and his master. So he shouted, alas, my master, what are we going to do? But the master reclined. I can imagine him assuming he was smoking a cigar, just puffing at his pipe. I'm not saying the man smoked too. I'm just trying to say that, just trying to illustrate. He was just totally relaxed. And the man couldn't understand, why is this man not perturbed at all? And he said, this is my reason. I can see those who are with us, and they are more than those who are against them. Are you getting my point? And for that reason, he had to relax. So when the guy wouldn't relax, he had to pray to the Lord to please open his eyes so he will stop disturbing my peace. Are you getting my point? And when the man had a different perspective, he saw that indeed we are not alone. It may just be my master and I physically speaking, but the amount of angels, warrior angels around the mountain and their chariots definitely are more than those who are against us. So he too, he relaxed. How you attack life depends on how you see yourself. I'm not talking about just psyching yourself up now. I'm talking about seeing yourself from God's perspective. Are you getting my point? Quickly, go back to that Jeremiah chapter 1. This was what we said last time, but we can't say it enough. People must hear it and 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 hear it. All right? Until they believe it. Jeremiah was seeing himself in a particular fashion. But God had a different opinion of his life, of his person, of what he could do and what he couldn't do. And that's what I'm going on about today. God called Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That is, I had my assessment of you. I created you to be in a particular fashion. And before you were born, I consecrated you. And if you understand consecration, you will see it goes with anointing. So he said, this is the anointing. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, he says, because he has anointed me. That's the way it goes. So when God appoints you, there's a spirit he pours upon you. What was Jeremiah's opinion of himself? Verse 6. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, because as you can see, I see myself like this. I am a youth. But the Lord said, do not say I am a youth. It's very important what you say with your mouth. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's only a man who has stopped seeing himself as just a youth that can stop saying that I am a youth. Are you getting my point? I mean, Solomon took over as king, everybody saw him as a youth. But he saw himself differently. He knew he needed the power of God, so he went and tapped into God's power. And the wisdom of God was with him. A few months after I took the throne, everybody bowed. Are you getting my point? That's why Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, don't let anybody despise your youth. He may look young to them. He said, this is what you are going to do. You will realize you're a minister of God. Are you getting my point? And you must be an example. See yourself as an example. He said, therefore, be an example. And if you are indeed an example, all right, people will bow before you. That's a matter of fact. They will bow before you. There's something my mother said many years ago. You know, she passed a comment. Let me just say it, by the way. Always do what is right. Don't forget what people are saying. Always do what is right. Because a day will come, they will deny you if you do what is wrong. But the day will also come, if you continue to do what is right, they will come and acknowledge the fact that you were doing what was right. You know, there, of course, most parents are, you know, like, you know, the way it is. I was supposed to go and serve the North. My mother was really, really worried about it. And when she said, what are we going to do? I said, what are we going to do? Oh, this is what we are going to do. I'm going to pack my bag. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to carry the bag, take my call-up letter. I'm going to find my way down to Taraba State. And I'm going to become a very rich and influential man. She was looking like, is this boy or not? All right. So I left the house. Make a long story short. Long after, one day we were talking, she said that, I still remember when you were posted to go and serve in Taraba State. I was so worried. But you have a way of putting people's mind at rest. She did not acknowledge it when the issue was on. It was as if she had the wisdom of age and experience. The Bible said there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. Always do what is right. If people are advising you, these are the criteria you use for making the choice in marriage, and it's not the word of God, don't listen to them. You know what I'm telling you? One day, they will come back and tell you that you obviously knew what you were doing. We were the ones that did not know. Because only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. And once you make choices according to the will of God, God takes it upon himself as his responsibility to prove you right. Do you get what I'm going to explain? All right, let me not digress into that too much, all right? So the point I'm making is that Jeremiah saw himself as a youth. God said, no. Solomon, though he was a youth, God, his father had taught him how to handle the matter. And the same thing was what Paul was telling Timothy, all right? Make sure you are an example. Are you getting my point? Don't see yourself as a small boy. Fill yourself with the word of God. Are you getting me? And people will recognize the wisdom of the Ancient of Days that is inside you. Elihu said, there is a spirit in man. I thought the aged should speak, and multitude of years should utter wisdom. He said, but I've discovered that there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. If you go and see yourself, you don't say, I'm a small boy. Life will treat you like a small boy. Do you get my point? You know I don't have money. Life will treat you like you don't have money. Look, I have friends that, if I have two of them in my mind as I'm talking right now, all right? One of them is a pastor, the other one is a businessman. My friends. One of them, I used to tell my wife that this man must be rich in life. My wife and I, there are times we actually pray for him. That the way he carries himself, God must lift him to that level. There's nowhere he enters. And his shoulder is always square, straight. Talks boldly. Anywhere he goes, he can go to the most expensive hotel in the world as he's entering like this, how his shoulder is. I'll tell the doorman, hey, how you doing? You think he's a billionaire. And when he's passing, that's how he'll dip his hand in his pocket. And that's the guy money. You think, I just told my wife, God must bless this guy. in the name of Jesus Christ, he must be rich. I mean, the two of them, these are men that nobody intimidates. You can be a multi-millionaire, they'll talk to you straight like this. Listen to me, and that's how life will treat them. I told that poverty mentality is what real poverty is. It's not the absence of cash. Are you getting my point? You can be poor in pocket, is the will of God. The one God fights is to be poor in mind. To have a beggarly spirit. To have a crawling spirit. A spirit that uses words like we masses. The mekunus of the world. If you speak your Bible, you know what I'm talking about. There are words that should never come from your mouth as a believer. You masses. It's not possible. You? Hey, don't let an angel get commissioned to flog you. No, there are things. It's an evil Solomon said I've seen. You see princes calling themselves masses. Children of God saying that we masses. It's an attitude. Are you getting my point? It's not just about being rough and bragging now. No, it's about filling yourself with the word of God. I am the child of a king. I am a child of a king. That's how God sees you. So Jeremiah said, I'm but a youth. God said, don't say it. We spend too much time giving excuses. Like I say, excuses for Satan. Explaining why things can't work. What I'm telling you now, what does God say about you? Let me focus on that. God says, you are not a youth. You are filled with my spirit. I have poured into you the spirit of Christ. Now listen, I told you before, Christ is not just, listen to this, it's not just a person. It's a phenomenon. It's an entity. It's a realm of existence. It's the congregation of all good things that God ever did for anybody. That is, inside the spirit of Christ is the spirit of Joseph. Inside the spirit of Christ is the spirit of Daniel. Inside the spirit of Christ is the spirit of Samson. Inside the spirit of Christ is the spirit of David. That anything that the power of God accomplished in the life of David, it can accomplish in your life. If you are of Christ. Are you getting my point? Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That's how it is. That's how it is. And you are in Christ because of your faith in Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? You have been born again, not of incorruptible, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed. The seed of God dwells in you. Therefore, you can't look at yourself in any fashion other than the way that God sees you. He said, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. It does not matter where you came from, naturally speaking, or what you don't have, naturally speaking. So God said to Jeremiah, stop repeating in my ears your excuses. They are called excuses for Satan. I said to you earlier, Satan can't do anything if he can't persuade you about it. Are you getting my point? No, he can't. And what all those dreams you dream at night is part of the discussion. Has God really said that shall make it in life? If you try very hard. He never said if you try very hard. God never said that. Be careful when you are reading. I was reading somewhere, I was reading a book this morning. I think it was this morning. And I've been reading for a few days. And on top of one chapter, you know, the way he introduced was a quote. He said, anyone who can rise up very early for 365 days of the year will make it in life. I said, it's a lie. That's how I read. If you see me, I read with pen. I put my comment. I say, that's a joke. Forget it. I continue reading. We talk and then I say, my friend, forget it. It is vain for a man to rise up early and to go to bed late. For he gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. So God didn't say, you will make it if you try. No. By the grace of God, you will be what God has made you to be. And his power working towards you will not prove vain. You will labor more than them all. God said, but not you, but the power of God working with you. Are you getting my point? Listen, let me tell you this. I meditated upon it yesterday. I realized it again. You know, but actually what happened was that I was editing a message for TV. And I heard myself say things. I was saying, hallelujah. This is divine truth. God said, occupy till I come. I made a statement. That God has a way of occupying people. He keeps you busy. Waiting for God is not idleness. It's occupy with till I come. God, look, there's nothing like there's no job. There is a job. It may not be half a million naira a year, a month. There's a job.
It may not give you money at all sometimes, but there's a job. Each time you must identify what God said you should occupy that season with. And let me tell you something. You know, I was reading this book, Outliers. I've mentioned it a number of times. I'll read it again. And the man said something there. I said, this is so true. The Bible said the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong and all of that. He said, time and chance happens to them all. And in that book, Malcolm Gladwell tried to explain some principles. A lot of it, just, you know, Solomon was wise. Solomon could have written that book. In fact, he wrote that book, Outliers. He did. It's in the book of Ecclesiastes. Everything that man took, those 100 pages, 200 pages to tell, those stories, Solomon wrote it in a few verses. Time and chance happens to them all. That's it. And he explains something. He describes some people there, some lawyers, all right? Who, because, you know, in fact, he made a statement which was, it was so interesting to me. He said that these men did not become great despite their disadvantages. He said, no, they became great because of their disadvantages. And he explained that because they wouldn't give them the plum jobs, listen to this, the tush-tush jobs of those days. Said one guy was so intelligent, everybody interviewed him, said this guy is too good. By the time he saw the biggest boss, the man said, you know, we can't employ a man from your background. So the man was forced to go to the next level where they dropped the crumbs from the master's table. The jobs that the big lawyers wouldn't take, he had to take it. So he was doing litigation, he was doing takeovers, he was doing things that the other big, big guys wouldn't touch. Then the seasons of life changed. Time and chance happened to them all. Then by the time the seasons of life changed, it suddenly came to be that those kind of cases that those big men wouldn't take was what people like him, was what the world now needed. And he was exercised in it, having done it for over 10,000 hours, according to his own principle in that book. Time and chance. Because he was exercised. In fact, if you read the book, it might explain something very interesting. That the Jews did well, the Eastern European Jews, when they emigrated to the U.S., because where they were coming from, they were not allowed to farm. They didn't own land. So they were forced to learn skills that did not depend on the land. But when they got to the New World, those were the skills that made them multimillionaires. Those who were allowed to farm moved to the New World and remained poor. Those who were allowed to own land, their descendants moved to the New World and had nothing. Are you getting my point? Occupy until I come. What am I saying? God will give you a skill. The problem is, oh God, let me quickly drop this one in. I've noticed something. There's one material I'm going to write shortly, titled The Error from Revelations. What do I mean? We have misinterpreted the book of Revelations as if it's a book for the end time. Meanwhile, we are walking in the errors inside it and not know. What am I trying to explain? One of the major problems why people don't occupy properly is because they have taken the mark of the beast. They are walking with the world. And they are waiting for the breeze to manufacture a microchip. What am I saying? By being covetous, by being money-minded, by allowing the world to teach them what to do and what not to do, they are leaving the place of occupation that God has given them. So that when God now comes to breakthrough, they are not found there. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Listen, you are not inferior. That's what I'm trying to explain. God will keep you occupied each time so that by the time your in quote time comes, you will be ready. Go and listen to our series again. The doctrine of the appointed time. I explained that in there. God has created, listen, in you have the spirit of Daniel and the spirit of Joseph put together. That's part of the Christ spirit. And he's saying, exercise yourself in this until I come. You have no business envying somebody who got a job where they pay him 200,000 naira and two of you are classmates. So what? Life is not an accident. God used a few events over the last few weeks to prove to me that, listen, I am watching over you carefully. The other day, I had a small accident in the house. Part of my house caught fire. All right. Later on, I was discussing with Yinka, but there was a way people, you know, people, fire was put out and all of that. It was my little boy who decided to go and play with fire.